Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Wednesday, September 14th. I am your host, Eric Steven, and obviously we are going to start with the biggest Dodgers-related news of the day. I, too, have made a Chippendale error. In my haste on Tuesday morning's podcast, I wanted to relay to you the hilarious story of Justin Turner recounting how Cody Bellinger wondered what the Chippendale costume on Dodgers dress-up day on Sunday leaving San Diego had to do with quote-unquote mice, because he thought it was Chip and Dale, the adorable cartoon sleuths. And I mentioned them, I believe, in both the story and on yesterday's podcast. I mentioned them as mice, simply sort of parroting what Bellinger said and failing to disclose, to my great shame, that Chip and Dale aren't actually mice, but they're rather chipmunks. So I do regret this error. I apologize to all of you. I do lament that the rodents weren't named Chip and Monk. It would have made it a lot easier for adult like me. But yeah, that was it was still funny, the story with Justin Turner and Cody Bellinger. But I was so happy to sort of relay that story that I made an error myself. So egg is on my face. That was great. So that's obviously the biggest Dodgers related news. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Nope. I'm just getting word that the Dodgers have clinched the National League West. That makes three consecutive leading off with True Blue LA podcasts where the Dodgers have clinched something. We thought they clinched a playoff spot on Sunday. Turns out that wasn't the case, thanks to a few multi-team complicated tiebreaker scenarios that could have happened that might have kept the Dodgers out. But two wins in Arizona with no runs allowed so far in the series by the Dodgers secured a playoff spot on Monday for reals this time. And then on Tuesday, the Dodgers clinched the National League West, getting back on top after losing despite 106 wins in 2021. But this is their ninth division title in 10 years. We'll have a lot to talk about. I tweeted out something earlier in the day. I had forgotten exactly how many clinching games Kershaw started. So I went back and looked in researching the clinching dates of this sort of 10-year run, and then plus a little bit further because Kershaw started his career in 2008. Before Tuesday, Kershaw, he started three different division clinching games, and I looked up the other years when he didn't start. There weren't situations where they could have won a division and Kershaw started, but they didn't win or something like that. The Dodgers were 3-for-3 in Kershaw's division clinching starts. He did not get the win in 2009, despite pitching six scoreless innings with 10 strikeouts. That was a close game late. Hongchi Kuo got the win in that game, but the Dodgers won on the penultimate day of the season in 2009. And in 2014, Clayton Kershaw had a great game against the Giants at home. 8 innings, 1 run, 11 strikeouts. And I would argue his second best pitched game in his career was the 2015 clincher in San Francisco. He struck out 13 and pitched a shutout. So heading into Tuesday, Kershaw had allowed 1 run in 23 innings, and he struck out 34. So that's ridiculous. And obviously, I got a few replies saying, well, Kershaw's not the same pitcher that he is now. It's like, yeah, no duh, right? But guess what? Clayton Kershaw's still pretty good. He was dominant is not the right word. He kept the Diamondbacks off balance, I would say. He was in complete control. He only allowed 2 hits and 1 walk. He struck out 5. That's why I sort of hesitated to say that he was dominant, but he was still awesome. He got 10 swings and misses on the slider alone. The slider is looking ridiculous again. So, yeah, like Kershaw's had two injured list stints this season. But since returning from the second one, he is, that was sort of a concern. Like, is he going to be able to sort of ramp it up for the postseason? How is he going to look? And he's looked great so far. Remember, he's only three starts off the injured list. That first inning in New York on September 1st, he walked three in the inning, including walking in a run, which he never does. So that was like, uh-oh, what's going to happen here? And then all he did was retire the next 13 in a row. Won his last start, and then, or pitched well in his last start, barely allowed anything. His three starts coming off the injured list, three runs in 18 innings with 19 strikeouts, four walks, and three of those walks were in that first inning, so he only has one walk in his last 18 innings. He was seven scoreless in Tuesday's division clincher. The Dodgers backed him with three home runs. Joey Gallo got the first. He's been scuffling a bit of late. His numbers with the Dodgers look eerily similar to his numbers with the Yankees, but, you know, he's sort of there to hit the occasional bomb, walk occasionally. He did that, too, on Tuesday. Freddie Freeman hit one nearly as – or actually 4 feet further than Gallo did, actually over the pool, which was sort of symbolic in a way. We've seen this before where the Dodgers in 2013 famously celebrated in the pool at Chase Field, which is just beyond the right center field wall. Clayton Kershaw talked with Bill Plunkett at the Orange County Register over the weekend, sort of reflecting on that. Kershaw is the only one still on the team from that 2013 team. And he said, like, they weren't planning to do anything until, like, the Diamondbacks specifically said, if you clinch, do not go in the pool. And Kershaw and the team were like, well, you can't tell us what to do. So, like, pretty much the whole team ran out there, climbed the wall. It was great. And then it led to 2017 in the National League Division Series when the Dodgers clinched in Game 3. The Diamondbacks put policemen and guards on horses to guard the wall, which was a hilarious visual. That's always a friend of mine. And before the game, you know, Dave Roberts was asked, if you clinch, are you going to go in the pool again? He's like, no, that's not us. I mean, and honestly, that was sort of a one-time thing. It was funny. It's always going to be funny. There was such overreaction to, like, John McCain put out a statement, and it was just like, all right, get over yourself, buddy. But, no pool, but Freeman's ball actually went over the pool. They avoided the pool at all costs in this one, but they did celebrate nicely in the locker room afterwards. David Besse and Kirsten Watson on Sportsnet LA were getting a lot of interviews and just getting peppered with champagne the entire time. So that was pretty neat. I will add Max Muncy also homered. He got his batting average over 200, which I'm not being dismissive in this. That is actually an accomplishment because outside of opening day when he was 1-for-5, it's the first time all year his batting average has been 200 or higher. He has just, since about August 1st, he's had a slump midway through this little stretch, but he's really climbed the ladder after a really poor start, obviously dealing with the injury and sort of some swing mechanics earlier in the year. He's back on track, it seems like, and sort of trending in the right direction. That's how they won. It's the ninth division title in 10 years. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means and how good this team is after the break. So the Dodgers, by clinching Tuesday, it was their 141st game. That is the fastest they've clinched since moving to Los Angeles in terms of number of games. They clinched on September 13th, which is 3 days later than in 2019, but that was game 146 that year. That season started on March 28th. This season famously started late because of the lockout. Started on April 7th. The Dodgers played their first game on April 8th. So if you look at just the schedule, this year's Dodger team, I mean, look, they have a 20.5 game lead over the Padres. They have 21 games left. The Padres have 20. So They had the tiebreaker by winning the season series, so that's how they're division champions so early. But yeah, it is an impressive run. Again, they've made the playoffs 10 years in a row. It's going to take a lot for them not to break the franchise record for wins. Like, the last half of this 10-year run has just been ridiculous, like, in terms of how often they're winning, you know, like, in the regular season. They have the most playoff wins during that time, too. Obviously, they just have the one World Series, and that's their ultimate goal. I'm just sort of looking at how they're structured. And to me, this team seems pretty clearly the best of the bunch, and that sounds weird to say because the Dodgers are heading into October. They don't have Walker Buehler. Obviously, Tommy John surgery is out the rest of this season. He's going to miss 2023 as well. Coney Gonsolin, who was great, has been great all year, is still hurt, and the sort of jury's still out on exactly when he might return and if there's going to be enough time for him to be ready for October or, you know, pitch well enough. Still dealing with sort of soreness in his forearm. So, there's a lot of question marks. However, I just think they're built to, like, withstand all of that. Like, they haven't had Buehler since June. 4/5 of the starting rotation have landed on the injured list. Julio Urias has stepped into the ace role ably. He's pitched excellently, especially his last 15 starts. He's got a sub-2 ERA. Just gives them exactly what they need every single time out. But Gonsolin's on the injured list currently. Andrew Heaney missed half the season with 2 injured list stints. Kershaw's been on the injured list twice. They've just had so many injuries, like, all year, obviously Buehler. And then Tyler Anderson technically didn't start in the rotation, so that's why he's out of that sort of 4 out of 5. He also hasn't been on the injured list, and after a few piggyback starts, he has been one of the unsung heroes. He does lead the team in innings just narrowly over Julio Urias, and like, Urias is leading the National League in ERA. I think Anderson's 5th. Just excellent. We talked about Anderson on yesterday's podcast. I just think they have, in years past, you know, when Kershaw was the ace, the dominant pitcher in baseball, if something went wrong with Kershaw, they were kind of screwed. And now they're, like, built to withstand any of that. Like, they just have a solid team all the way around, depth, offense, pitching, even if sometimes it doesn't seem like it when they're dealing with all sorts of injuries. Like, literally, the Dodgers still have 7 pitchers on the injured list who are still sort of, at least in theory, trying for October. Tommy Canley was activated on Tuesday. He didn't pitch, but he missed the last 4 months with elbow, like, bone bruise in his elbow. And that was after coming back from Tommy John. He only pitched 4 games in May. So he's sort of trying to make it back. They lost Daniel Hudson to a torn ACL. And, like, their bullpen, despite all the turnover, they just keep putting up numbers. Like, Craig Kimbrel struggled for, like, the first, you know, almost, like, I guess, 4 months of the season. And then since let it go, I believe August 21st was the first date there. Yeah, he's pitched 8 times, and he's had a 1-2-3 inning 8 times. The only blemish was when he was asked to go a second inning in Miami, and he walked 2 of the 3 batters he faced in that second inning. So he's been really, really good. But they're just deep. And obviously, in the past, like, last year, the Dodgers were also excellent. They won 106 games. They obviously didn't win the division. But their pitchers ran out of gas in the NLCS. They lost in 6 games to Atlanta. In the postseason, the Dodgers' offense also scored 2 runs or fewer in half of their 12 games. That was a part of it. I just think this year's offense is better. They're anchored by Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman at the top. Like, that's ridiculous to have those 3 at the top. And then you have Will Smith, arguably the best hitting catcher in baseball, has been a strong force at cleanup all year. He's already set a career high for plate appearances. You know, that he's, by starting at DH more often when he's not catching. Justin Turner has been one of the best hitters in baseball since the end of June. Found his stroke again. Again, Max Muncy's recovering. I think Gavin Lux, he's probably going to play by this weekend. He was, before he went on, or he hasn't even been on the injury list. He's just been sort of active but not playing. He was in the top 10 in on-base percentage and batting average, and he was slugging a lot since, like, May. Just been excellent. So they have a ridiculously deep lineup. Trace Thompson, obviously, since getting he's sort of the Tyler Anderson of the pitching or the offense, I guess. So yeah, it was, it's they're more deep than the other versions of this team. Obviously, there's going to be questions, like if Gonsolin is not ready for the postseason, that does put them at a little bit of a disadvantage. But I think they're the sum of their parts. Are built to withstand this. I do think this is the best team they've had. They are relentless. They are outscoring teams by over 2 runs a game on average. Currently, through 141 games, they've outscored their opponents by 320 runs. That is the 6th highest run differential in the modern era, which is since 1901. They have a good chance to slip into 3rd place by the end of the season, actually, even by 154 games, which is where the kind of schedule the teams above them all played. So nobody's really done this, what they're doing. They are an excellent team. I think it's their best. And I think they, you know, sort of deserve to be rewarded. I mean, I guess not rewarded, recognized for how good they are. They are excellent. Obviously, the World Series is the goal. We all know this, but I think they are built to win it. This is the best team of this 10-year stretch. I'm confident in saying that. Now we go into the post sort of clinch thing. They still have some things to sort of sew up. Their magic number to clinch a bye into the NLDS is by finishing ahead of the Cardinals. That magic number is only 6, so that can be sort of a range. They're also close, reasonably close to clinching the number 1 seed over the Mets and or Braves in the NL East. So they're going to be able to get all their ducks in a row, unlike last year when they had to play a wild card game, not to mention fight tooth and nail down to the last day of the season trying to win the division. So I think that's going to be an advantage. The 5 days off is going to be an advantage, not to mention facing a wild card winner who, at the very least, used up 2, possibly 3 of their pitchers, which sort of throws them into disarray a little bit in the division series. Like I said, the depth is really good. But now, in terms of where they're at post-clinching, the one thing I do miss, one of the things I do miss about not having the fully expanded rosters in September is the ridiculous post-clinch lineups. You might see, like, the day after. I remember, so in the first year of this 10-year run, I actually drove out to Phoenix. I was covering that series. I was there for the clincher. And then, unwisely, also drove to San Diego for the next day as well. That was a rough stretch. That year, the day after they clinched in Arizona, that was the pool game. They had Drew Butera at first, in the day after, you know, cause they, you can't, with the current roster, they only have 14 position players. So you can't do like the full lineup turnover, which is, I mean, look, it doesn't really mean anything, but I just, it's one of those quirks I always sort of enjoyed. This was the Dodgers lineup, the day after they clinched in 2013, first game of a series in San Diego. D. Strange Gordon at short. He was sort of establishing himself at this point. He made the All-Star team the next year. It's not bad, but Jerry Hairston at third, Skip Schumacher at second, Scott Van Slyke batting cleanup in left, Tim Fedorovich at catcher, Nick Chili Buss in center, Alex Castellanos in right, again, Drew Butera at first, and Edison Volquez on the mound. That is one of the better post-clinch lineups I've ever seen. So yeah, it was something. We don't get that anymore. Well, it'll be interesting to see actually Wednesday, because I don't remember if it's set in stone or anything, but Dave Roberts has said, like, you know, Freddie Freeman wanted to play every day, and he said he would let him until they won the National League West. So He's probably going to get a rest at some point. I wonder if it's going to be tomorrow or I guess today because it's on Wednesday. But if he does, then you sort of see that sometimes where you get a rest and then the Dodgers are off Thursday. So resting one game for 2 days, full 2 days off, that kind of a thing. So it wouldn't be surprising to see Freddie Freeman not starting on Wednesday, and maybe that's Miguel Vargas' time to shine. Who knows? Maybe he'll get some run in there in the series finale. It'll be interesting also, just from a roster minutia standpoint of how they sort of handle the pitching. They're going to it looks like they're going to start Michael Grove. They'll need to call him up, and then so that means obviously jettisoning a reliever. And like they already designated Heath Hembree for assignment on Tuesday. They have Justin Brule, Andre Jackson still in the bullpen, so potentially one of those pitchers could be optioned or something to make room for Grove. And then it's a matter of what do they do after that. Are any of the other injured relievers healthy enough to join them by the weekend in San Francisco? Like, do they option Grove after the start? It would be his fifth option. They do have a doubleheader coming next Tuesday against the Diamondbacks at Dodger Stadium. It was one of those rescheduling things from the first week of the season. So you could technically see a situation where, like, Grove gets recalled Wednesday to start, then he gets optioned, and then they – for another reliever – but then I guess the question would be, who is that reliever going to be? I don't really know. I'm just play out this scenario with me here. And then they call up Grove as the 29th man of a doubleheader to start one of the games on Tuesday. And then you can send the 29th man back down without using an option. So that could be a scenario. We don't know. But again, that's for next week. We'll talk about that then. Now there's Dodgers have one more series in – or one more game in – Phoenix, they've shut out the Diamondbacks the first two games. I suspect Arizona will score at least something on Wednesday. And we'll see I guess hungover is not the right word. Maybe it is. Who knows? But we'll see how the celebration, because they did get some good celebration in it. They should. It's a division. It's a important accomplishment. But the Dodgers are the National League West champions. Thank you for listening, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow.